Hello, and welcome to the Fun and Sobriety Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan. I am an alcoholic. Today, I want to once again talk about, let's say, spirituality, the God concept, and maybe more specifically, the experiences of hearing other people talk about their experiences and their relationship to a higher power and all those things. My experiences as a rational, at best agnostic person, navigating and walking through the secret society of the 12-step program, is unique, I suppose. I mean, I pause on the word unique because every one of us thinks we're unique, right? Especially those of us struggling with substance use disorder, you know, alcoholics. We all think that we have some special, specific thing going on that no one can relate to. And I suppose that part isn't true. I do feel like people can relate to what I'm talking about and what I'm going to share here. I mean, I guess otherwise, why would I bother, right? And I don't think my experience is necessarily unique. My experience of, attending these secret meetings, walking in with a fair degree of hesitation, reluctance, maybe a little pessimistic ideas sitting in the back of my head of like, am I really going to be a part of this? You know, like the first few times I found myself sitting in a meeting, even though I was struggling with everything in my life, even though, you know, at that point, it was clear that I was going to lose everything. I mean, I was definitely in conscious denial that that was the case. I was convincing myself that I was still holding on, that everything was going to be okay. I mean, I'd been fired from my big boy job, and I was in absolute disharmony with my home life and with every single person that I loved in my life. They were at best gritting their teeth to be around me, and more often than not, just doing everything they could to not be around me, including telling me to go away, you know? And I was in that mindset of still sitting down and, you know, dragging my heels and hiding in the back of a meeting and just putting my head down and sort of listening and sort of just looking around at everybody and judging everybody, right? I mean, I'm confident that every single person who has attended one of these secret society 12-step meetings has that experience of looking around the room and going, no way. No way am I like this. No way am I going to be like this. No way am I going to be associated with this. No way is this anything for me. Everyone experiences that to one degree or another, to some degree or another. And, you know, frankly, our ability to embrace that society and that program and use it to its effective purpose depends greatly upon how much we get past these ideas. And I don't know why I'm giving so much of a preamble here, other than it's a relatable experience of being, depending on which kind of room you wind up in, there can be a lot of people that are very different, right? Drug addiction, alcoholism, it doesn't give a shit about socioeconomic status. It doesn't give a shit about race, religion, gender, whatever. I mean, the human mind, the human brain being impacted by chemicals, and some of us in a certain way just become completely addicted and completely obsessed, and doesn't have anything to do with how we were raised or where we were raised or what kind of upbringing and nationality, blah, blah, blah. You drown your brain in alcohol long enough, you're going to become fucking addicted to it. All of that's to say, it's easy especially when you're looking for it, it's easy to find a reason to not relate to these fucking weirdos, to these fucking losers, to these people who, I am not like that. I may be at the, what feels like the bottom for me, but I'm not as bad as that person, right? You know, and that's, I'm not even going to say, unfortunately, that's everyone's experience. That is everyone's experience, because we are all terminally unique, right? And nowhere is this more of a distraction, a all-consuming thought, at least for me, and I'm, again, guessing for a lot of people out there, nowhere is this more evident than when the topic of discussion revolves around God, a higher power, and how that higher power is acting in your life. Because, you know, I mean, it's easy to kind of just whitewash the entire 12-step approach as just another religion, some kind of cult, whatever. Because the way that a lot of people approach it, especially people who have found a brand new lease on life and have committed themselves to taking specific actions and following specific instructions and doing the thing and being, you know, open and willing and teachable to a almost prescribed format. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who take the program and work it a very specific way and have for decades now, you know, generations upon generations of an approach to how to do the 12-step thing in a very specific pattern that it's easy to step back or look at from the outside and go, yeah, that's a, in the very least, a religious approach. And a lot of us come in and we're like, I don't want to join a religion. I want to be healthy. And if healthy means I got to be sober, and I for one can't be sober. Nothing I'm doing is helping me get sober. But when I come in here and I hear a bunch of people spouting off very dubious sensibilities around God and religiosity, that's a turnoff. And I don't know, I suppose, once again, that's a common experience, and this episode is dedicated to you, people, my fellow doubters, that it is still possible to endure the, I'm going to say, sophomoric religiosity of the wet brain and barely sober in order to still find common ground with the people in the rooms and find commonality with this spiritual concept that is being discussed in very clunky and off-putting ways by people who often are people that, you know, my experience is I probably wouldn't spend any time near them, let alone spend time hearing them talk about, you know, their experiences and their beliefs if it weren't for these rooms, right? Which is to say, prejudiced against people who kind of turn me off, right? I mean, we all are. I'm just admitting it out loud. Like, you know, there's certain people, you know, there's certain people that I just don't want to hang around, right? I mean, they might smell bad. They might look like they slept on the street. You know, people who I have empathy for, I have sympathy for, that I also don't want to commit a lot of my personal time to embracing, right? I mean, I'll admit it. That's just a reality of my privileged existence. And even though I was at the end of my rope and at the bottom of as far down as I wanted to go, I still didn't necessarily want to be committing my time to spending extended periods of my day and my life with people who freaked me out, right? But, so yeah, it's easy to get fixated on that. And then when somebody who barely falls into that category, or perhaps based on what they say, start to fall into that category, it's very easy for me as a human to allow that prejudice, allow my bias and, you know, my fucking privilege to kind of shut myself off to what they have to say, to shut myself off to what I could learn from their experiences, right? Like I'm open enough, and I, you know, I feel like I was even in early sobriety to love that person and appreciate their experiences and appreciate, you know, the positive aspects of what was happening to them as a result of removing the alcohol and drugs from their system. But I was also struggling to find connectivity when they started talking about their God experiences, their experiences of a higher power. And this is something I struggle with even today. You know, several years in, I have to consciously remind myself, hey, listen for the similarities, stop fixating on the differences. And I don't know if it's just the last few years of my life, whatever's going on, but this, the differences in regards to people's descriptions, at least, of what appears to be an obsessive thinking about a higher power. No, that's not fair. The way that they talk about their higher power, the way that they attribute so much of what has gone on in their lives to God, right? Like if again, any limited experience going to any of these secret society meetings, there is a great deal of attributing everything to God, everything to God. How did you do it? I didn't do it. I just gave it over to my higher power, right? Third step. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing to hear people describe how their lives have turned around and how they've managed to reconnect with the people in their lives, with their loved ones, with their children, you know, be whatever, find their footing and begin to have a financial stability that they hadn't had before, and all the beautiful things. And hearing the talk about how all of it is attributable to their higher power, and they couldn't have done it without this and that. And I'm intentionally framing this in a confrontational way, in an antagonistic way, to make it, you know, reinforce the sense that I feel some of the time, and I know others feel, of hearing people attributing all the positive aspects of what goes on in their lives to God, air quotes, God, to a higher power, and sitting inside of myself in judgment thinking, why are we so fixated on this, right? And that doesn't come from doesn't feel like it comes from a healthy spot, at least. It feels like it's coming from a space of pessimism and negativity, which for me, in my experience, especially in early sobriety, especially when I was being acutely aware of all things that were pointed in the direction of relapse and pointed in the direction of going back out and just drinking myself to oblivion, negativity and pessimism were big on that list. And I don't know, I was about to say, you know, in earlier sobriety, I was more attuned to it. I don't know, whatever the difference was, whatever the spiritual experience I had that opened me up to just getting out of the way and listening to people, I think it saved me to some degree. It made me teachable. It allowed me to be teachable. And it's something that, I don't know if atrophied is the right word, but it's definitely, it's taking a little bit of a sidestep or a step back after years of sobriety. It's, you know, it's a little easier for me to sit and go, yeah, but, you know, whatever, you know, great. Yeah. You thank God for being able to attend your kid's graduation. Awesome. But also that's just what you're supposed to do as a parent, as a loving person in someone's life, right? That kind of sardonic response that isn't necessarily, no, not even not necessarily, it isn't helpful. It isn't in the vein of positivity that, you know, I know infuses my life in wonderful ways, or rather when I allow that positivity to be present, it infuses my life in wonderful ways. And so, yeah, when a discussion comes around identifying and, you know, discussing the way a higher power works in our lives, it's very easy for my rational brain to get distracted by yeah, but thoughts as people describe all the wonderful things that have gone on in their lives, right? Because, and this is probably no different than deeply religious people, right? Like everyone who's got a close personal relationship with whatever God means to them will inevitably discuss how all the things that are good in their life are a result of that God and that relationship. And yeah, something that I had to square or recently came to think about is like, you know, my conscription of a higher power, of God, whatever that is that, you know, I mean, it's the universe. The God is truly, literally everything, right? I mean, that's why we call it something so all-consuming is that, all-encompassing. And the reality is that I am part of the universe, right? That's the foundation of my own spirituality, is that I am part of this thing that is everything. And so when I am in grace and I am calm and quiet, I can feel, or I feel like I can feel, my connection to the universe. And through that is my connection to all things, which is, you know, a necessary result or consequence of God being everything. And also a necessary consequence of God being everything is, you know, yeah, all of these beautiful things that have transpired in my life are a direct result of, you know, air quotes, God working in my life. When people say that, yeah, God working in my life is evidence of that. Awesome. But all of the bad shit that occurred in your life, that is also no different in terms of the logic of attributing and identifying patterns. There's also, it's also God working in your life, right? I mean, from a stepped back rational standpoint, both things, I mean, you can't have one and not the other. And, you know, so the idea that all good things in my life are a result of God and all bad things in my life are a result of me, that feels a little self-defeating from the outside, right? I mean, I'm saying these things and inside I'm also getting that little shifted perspective of like, well, yeah, but no. I mean, yeah, but no. And it becomes this confused tongue twisting, like, well, no. I mean, like, I'm responsible for all these stupid things because I got, you know, I didn't allow God into my life. I wasn't front and center. I was front and center. I wasn't letting my higher power be front and center. And as a consequence, all these bad things happen. Okay, great. But if God is everything, God is also that, right? I mean, there's no way around that. And I suppose part of what has taken me, you know, whatever 15 minutes to get to this point in a preamble is that I am not interested in poo-pooing and shitting on other people's concepts of a higher power and how it works in their lives, because I can't help but see people who are openly embracing that concept of like, all the good things I give to my God, all the shitty things I know is because of me and when I'm not connected and blah, 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 blah. I see those people, or at least I see enough of those people who are embracing that concept and having a truly improved life experience, that their lives are on measure or in a clear and objective fashion, much, much better than they were before. And yeah, I am, you know, fully pessimistic, right? I sit here with my skeptic hat on at all times, whether or not I want to, it's just there. And it's easy to sit back and go, yeah, this is just confirmation bias, right? You're just looking at all of the positive things that have experienced, you've experienced, right? And it's especially easy to hear that, and especially easy to conclude the confirmation bias when you hear people, you know, describing like, I did this and I did this and, you know, I, whatever, I got out of bed and I prayed and then, you know, I went to the store and whatever, they had the last box of the juice I was looking for was on the shelf. And I was just, oh, you know, that's evidence of a higher power just, you know, making my day a little better, blah, 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 you know, just trite shit or even not trite shit. You know, the idea that praying is, has improved someone's life or brought a kid back from the brink, all of these things that we actively engage in this confirmation bias of attributing some kind of connection, some kind of causality between our conscious adherence to a prayer and fidelity to some higher power, some God, and then the positive outcome, right? It's very easy as a rational, skeptically minded person to look at that and go, yeah, you're just looking for evidence to back up what you want to believe, right? Like if you just sat back and applied that same approach to a shitty day, you could easily conclude the same thing, that all of these things occurred because of something else in your life, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I cannot help but notice that without the word God in there, without the confusion and whatever you want to call it, just inability to think straight about this higher power concept, without throwing that in there to confound things, when I focus my energy and my attention and my intention on positivity, when I walk through my day with a sense of optimism and an intentional mindset of being as much at peace and as calm as I can and having as much grace and humility and, you know, interacting with others in a calm and peaceful manner in a way that encourages them to respond to me in the way that I want to be responded to. So responding to them in a way that encourages them to respond to me peacefully. All of these things that, I don't know, other people might say in a godly fashion or in a sense of humility driven through their faith in God, whatever. I know when I embrace that mindset and approach my days and my life that way, cognitive or confirmation bias or not, things seem to unfold in a way that is better, right? And again, confirmation bias or not, the longer I do it, the more consistently I do it, the more consistently positive and better results that I start to receive. And it's impossible not to recognize that. It's impossible not to recognize that when I'm not feeling grumpy and negative and down and bleh and shitty about things and unfriendly and curmudgeonly, you know, it's not, you know, when I'm feeling like that, it's not easy, it's not difficult to recognize that when I'm feeling like a curmudgeon, shit is just worse, right? Like that idea of, you know, the universe is just reflecting back to me what I'm putting out, right? And again, confirmation bias or not, that is my experience. And the reality also is we all engage in confirmation bias. It's just part of the way our brains work, right? And I think that's just evidenced by that statement that resonates with basically everyone who's paid attention to it, that the universe reflects back to us what we put out, right? And some of us, we put it out there as, you know, I'm just praising Jesus left and right, and like blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you're going to get back a bunch of praising Jesus responses. Good for you. If that's what you're looking for, that's what you get. And who am I, and what difference does it make really, but who am I to sit onto the side and like have a judgment about it? other than, I don't know if that would work for me, right? But if it's working for someone else, awesome, right? To the extent that it doesn't get in the way of my or other people's ability to have their experiences, good for them. And that's where I always land, or at least have consistently landed, when I find myself trailing down this, like, pessimistic, skeptical, yeah, okay, God, 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 in your brain, God, God, God. When it's a topic of discussion and I hear, you know, the 17th person talk about praising God in some way, that whether they use the word praise or not, you know, embracing God, embracing a higher power, blah. All of that, blah, is just my own negativity, my own judgment, my own pride getting in the way of my own peace of mind. And yeah, you know, the confirmation bias that I am hearing, that you get enough people together and it starts to sound like a religion. Yeah, that's not my favorite thing. But it's also one of the nice things about this little secret society is I'm not expected to do exactly that. It may feel like it. You get enough people saying roughly the same thing, driven by the same big book nonsense. Yeah, it might feel like you're supposed to say a certain thing. And I do suspect a lot of us wind up saying a certain thing because we're just trying to fake it till we make it, right? We're just doing what we're told. And we're told, oh, you say this, you do this. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to share. But at the core, it's this confirmation bias of, if I act and direct myself towards positivity, towards being selfless, towards helping others, towards being humble, towards getting out of my own way and accepting that I have very little control over anything in my life, and the best that I can do is to just have a positive attitude and try and help others and be humble, my life improves. Right? And these are things that, these are concepts I did not waste any time thinking about. I don't know that it ever even occurred to me. I'm sure maybe some intellectualized activity of like, yeah, yeah, no, I'm a humble guy. Maybe at some point prior to finding recovery. I don't know. I don't care. I just know that my concept of a higher power is very specific and very personal. You know, when I am in a meeting and this is the topic, I often just kind of wait. Like I don't want to share unless somebody asks me to share, because I feel that my contribution, I mean, hell, it's taken me 20 minutes to get here. I don't typically want to take 20 minutes to explain myself. They definitely don't want to wait around for it. And my concept of a higher power is, you know, it's that confirmation bias of, I just feel better when I'm doing things that make me feel better for being a humble person and being a selfless person and trying to just be at peace and quiet and calm. So I don't know. I feel like I've kind of slipped over into sounding just like the rambling esoteric godheads that I was beginning this whole thing talking about, how they get on my nerves, or when they get on my nerves, I, you know, am aware that I'm just being negative. So I don't know. Anyone struggling with their own sobriety, struggling to utilize these very free systems in front of us, right? Like that's part of my motivation for continuing to record these, is to offer a little window to people out there who are similar to me, in that they're reluctant to give themselves over to some cult, to give themselves over to some new religion, to give themselves over to being a part of these fucking weirdos. You can still do it. You can still maintain your personhood, your sense of being a skeptical, rationally minded person, and still navigate this system, navigate this program, still interact with people who definitely seem like people you don't want to be around, that definitely aren't going to relate to, you can still do it. It takes humility, and it takes setting aside this skepticism and looking for parts that work, right? I mean, look for the commonalities, ignore the things that don't resonate, and just stay present and calm, and shit can work. And part of that is consciously recognizing that any and all reluctance is coming from a space of pride. You know, whether it's properly designed or not, the pride is there. And at least for me, I had to recognize, well, I'm either going to continue fighting this and continue looking for reasons not to embrace it and continue looking for reasons why I'm not like these people, and I'm going to fucking continue to drown myself to oblivion, or I'm going to try it. And honestly, the worst thing that can happen is you feel foolish for a little bit. You feel your pride kind of getting in the way, and you feel like, oh, now I'm one of, quote, these people. Nobody fucking cares, bro. Nobody fucking cares. You know, the bottom line for me is I want to stay sober, and I want to continue to experience the improvements and joys of my life, and all of them come from my sobriety, from my recovery. And if part of that means I have to be comfortable saying, and I owe that all to God and my higher power working in my life, you know, that statement in and of itself is meaningless to me. But the sentiment underneath, the awareness that when I am quiet and in grace and connected to the universe, all of those things are true. So who cares if someone else attributes that to air quotes God? I don't care. I just know my life is a hell of a lot better than it was before I had all this. If you're like me, that's what you're looking for. Anyway, that's all I have to say on that. Or at least that's all I have to say today. I'm sure I'll revisit it again. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Probably.